The views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of FMR.
This is FMR.
It's a lively week ahead, as not only the heat ratchets up, although I'm not quite sure what happened this morning because it's a little murky, but anyway, but also the number of fantastic performances on offer. I'm Beryl Eichenberger, assisted by sound whiz Mzu Maketa, and this is Cape Diary on Fine Music Radio 101.3, and it looks full to bursting today. Thank you for tuning in and making this your station of choice. So much on the menu, but we're giving you some choices in the range of what you enjoy. Making those choices is easy if you tune into Cape Diary every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 12 to 1 p.m. We keep you in the know. So, this morning we welcome an SA jazz maestro on a flying visit from his U.S. home. Always wonderful to have a son back in the hometown. Then, of course, laughter is the best medicine, so a touch of comedy is a great health boost. Artscape show their colors for their weekly roundup. And then we all love storytelling, and when it's an internationally staged production, well, can't miss that. And finally, a celebration of our national heritage in music. It's a promise to bring the holidays in. If you have an event to publicise, let us know on diary at fmr.co.za, and if you miss any diary broadcast, hop over to our podcast page on fmr.co.za and listen up.
FMR 101.3 FM.
We love welcoming our sons home, so SA jazz maestro, record producer, songwriter, composer, based in the US, will be in the city for his performance on Friday the 14th of November at The Commons, with his debut album Reflections of a Sound Mind, an evening definitely not to be missed. So delighted to welcome pianist Apiwe Bubu into the studio. Apiwe, hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, and thank you so much for being with us today. When I was reading your press release, etc., you spoke about persistence. It's your mantra. Tell us how you have persisted. I mean, you're living in LA pretty well full-time now, aren't you? So where did persistence, is this what persistence has got you? If you were talking to a younger person.
Yeah, I think background on the quote would be, just to give people context, is this is a Calvin Coolidge quote. He was once a president of the United States, and he said, nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful people with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The notion press on has solved and will always solve the problems of the human race.
Wow, that's so quite that, heavy.
Yeah. So from that vantage point, I think it hit me like a light bulb. Like I've had a kind of persistent energy about things when I make decisions to do them. And when I looked around, I was like, I mean, no statement could be truer. And so wherever I've been, whatever I've achieved, I've mostly squared it on the fact that I was persistent about that pursuit.
You allow nothing to stop you. You're driven by persistence.
100%. I mean, 100 no's is fine with me. As long as I stick to the persistence, I know I'll get the 101th yes.
You'll finally get that. That's brilliant. Well, you have a stellar career to prove it. So it's a very good lesson for our young musicians out there. Well, for any young person, for anybody, in fact. Never say never. You know, never take no for an answer, as they say. You've been writing also for the rich and famous. I mean, Beyonce was amongst the people you've written for. How's that experience been? I mean, how long have you been living in LA?
I've been in LA 2016, about 8 years now. And that opportunity came in. I was an assistant engineer on that project, Lemonade, under my mentor, Tony Maserati, who's also a producer engineer and has done a bunch of records, you know, and legendary. So I came in LA. That was one of the first projects I'd worked on coming out of Berklee College of Music.
How fantastic. Again, that's rounded your career. And now the album. I know it was released earlier this year. Reflections of a Sound Mind. Interesting title.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, you know, when I'd done recording the music and I decided to do solo piano, you know, jazz piano instead of having a band and an arrangement and everything. And I'd been thinking a lot through things since I've gotten back home this year and spent more time than I usually do. And I was doing a lot of reflecting. And throughout the record, as I was recording, I was thinking, what do I call this? What's happening here? And I realized a lot of what I was thinking or feeling was being reflected in the music and the songs themselves, the compositions. So I thought, okay, you know, I touch on South African, you know, sociodynamics, geopolitical issues in the album. And I was thinking about South Africa a lot through the album. So I decided to call it Reflections of a Sound Mind.
And were there specific inspirations to each of the tracks? I know just one of the tracks was not written by you. What were the inspirations for the other tracks? I mean, apart from what you've already said.
Yeah, there was a lot of inspiration. I think I'll speak on the one that I didn't write, the Entabeni, which is that Peggy Khoza's composition.
Yes.
Before I left, this was about 20 years maybe now, or 15, before I left for school, he'd shown me the piece on the piano one time, and I really loved it. It's got all the harmony and stylistics of South African, you know, sound, and I kept it with me throughout my journeys. And then the rest of the album is just part of what my experience has been in like the 15 years of traveling, living in Boston, studying, moving to Spain for a bit, for about almost a year, staying there.
Wonderful.
Moving to Los Angeles, you know. So all these flavors and all these sounds were in my, you know, in my headspace. And that's how the album came together.
Terrific. And you now have your own studio, Global Sound Studio in LA?
True.
And what's happening there? Who are you recording? What is happening?
Yeah, that studio, I think 2019, actually, I think, when I decided to do, you know, go in my own direction and decided to, you know, put more of my vision behind the studio. I put together the studio. It's in North Hollywood. And just what I needed to create and work with the artists that inspire me and, you know, that I thought were really good at what they were doing. So I do the recordings in there. I do the production. I do the songwriting. People come in. They'll find me. They'll say, oh, I see this is what you're doing with music, and I'd like to collaborate. So I've had some people coming in, some hip-hop artists, some guys from Atlanta, 808 Mafia, Flip De Niro, Chief Keef from, where is he from? Chicago, some pop music. So the studio is very good in that it serves me in as far as being able to create, and it's a 24/7 endeavor.
And I think one of the wonderful things, I mean, we obviously the concert at the Commons is going to show your reflections of a sound mind as well as much, much more. But one of the things that I really liked was that you have a media brand dedicated to promoting South African music culture in the United States, which I think is really terrific. Can you speak to that for less than 30 seconds?
Yeah. Amakinza E Vibe is the name of the brand. It's a multimedia brand established 2020, I believe, and a lot of it is around events. I do event productions, and I'll focus on Amapiano and anything new in as far as South African music, and pushing it out on the platforms that I create in like different venues and locations in and around Los Angeles. And so I hire DJs, and they come and they play specifically South African music, and it's been great. It's been growing. There's a lot of following on that side, and people are always surprised at how good the music is.
Well, we love it, and we love the fact that you're here. And you're going to be sharing your music with all of us at the Commons on Friday this week. So lastminute.com, please not. And tickets can be bought on www.fixr, FIXR.co. Apiwe, thank you so much and look forward to hearing you.
Yes, thank you for the time.
Thank you. And of course, the music that you heard as the lead into that interview was the one and only Apiwe Bubu with the track Johannesburg to New York from his album Reflections of a Sound Mind.
FMR 101.3 FM.
My next guest in the studio is definitely going to wake us up because, oh my goodness, do we need a good belly laugh to restore our spirits. And with celebrated comedian,
yes,
the one and only Stuart Taylor. Hello.
How? Belly laughs are on the cards. Belly laughs are on the cards.
We didn't want to be odd man out by not bringing you into the studio.
Thank you.
That's why we brought you into the studio. Tell me about the show, because I haven't seen it. I mean, the last time you played it in Cape Town,
yes,
was in
March of this year. We did a very, very short run, limited run.
Long time.
Long, yes. It's a terrible time. It was during Ramadan. It was during Pesach. It was during the month of Lent. So no one could come. Now I've chosen November, when everyone has got the busiest schedule possible.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, there's something happening like every
absolutely
hour.
Absolutely. So I really do choose my timing very well.
You do.
But the show is happening at the Baxter Theatre. It was a show that that I wrote and debuted at the National Arts Festival last year, and then took on a bit of a tour in and out of the rest of the country. And this is the final run of the show, Odd Man Out.
What triggered it? I mean, Odd Man Out. I think that most of us are odd men out. I mean, who fits in?
No one fits in.
No one
that's
fits
what
in.
I've come to
exactly.
realize. Do you know what I did with this show? I'll often come up with a theme for a show and then write material around that theme. But with this show, I started writing material and playing the material in comedy clubs. And suddenly a theme started to emerge. Mm-hmm. And the theme was, listen, I could have actually called it imposter syndrome.
Oh,
yes.
Something that we all suffer from.
Absolutely.
Well, I certainly suffer from, yeah.
So it was the fact that I'd found myself in a kind of, my youngest kid went to a new school, and it's a sort of very southern suburbsy type of, oh, this is not my, not where I come from, not where I fit in, and standing on the side of a rugby pitch pretending like you belong, pretending like you know the positions.
Yeah. And you know what the ball does.
Exactly,
yeah.
And not cheering for the wrong team. All of these things made me go, geez, this is quite an experience that people have. And I think even just as a parent to teenagers, that'll make you feel like the odd man out.
Yeah.
Trying to be the cool one amongst your kids' friends. Oh, that'll make you feel like the odd man out. And so that sort of emerged as a theme, that this is where I am in my life right now, that, you know, the world around me is a little bit different.
So you find your material in pretty much the everyday. I mean, you've told us about the schools,
yes,
and standing on the sidelines with rugby and everything else. And what other material have you added into it?
Very much my material lives in where I find myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I always tell very personal stories.
So you change
stories.
Things
absolutely.
All the time. It's a work in progress.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So for me, marriage is a great source of material. Parenting is
How
a great...
How does your wife feel about that?
You know, as long as I pay the credit card bill, she's remarkably
okay. Oh, that's okay.
Okay,
yeah, that's okay.
No, I think she's come to realize that the wife on stage is sort of the every wife. Mm-hmm. And the husband is the every husband. So if I'm telling a story, it could be my story. It could be my best friend's story. It could be my wife. It could be my sister. You know, I'll just kind of pick little stories, pick up stompies, especially when you're sitting around the bra and go, oh, that's a good story.
Do you find that people recognize themselves in your material?
Sometimes. I mean, I do try and change the names to protect the guilty. So... And, you know, you modify it a little bit if it's change the gender, change the setting. So, you know, take a bit of poetic license here and there. But often the stories and the material is rooted in real life experience, because that's kind of been my strength as a comedian, is to just drill down into the emotion that we're feeling at the moment over here, be it embarrassment, be it a bit of shame, be it a bit of whatever it may be, and then go, if I can drill down into the emotion we're feeling and tell the story, it means that the audience sits there and goes,
Happened to me.
Exactly. Yep. Even if it's not the exact same situation, they feel it and it resonates with them. And the best comedy, the comedy that makes you laugh from a position where you can't even help it, mm-hmm. is the ones where it just resonates with you. That's what I love to do.
You have to be very observant.
I sit quietly in a corner and observe. This is my entire life.
I am not going to want to be in a coffee shop where you are. Definitely not.
I'm the fly on the wall. I choose the seat right in the corner with my back to the wall, and I make sure I observe everyone. And yeah, it's great.
And anything that you've picked up recently that you've now added to the show that you're prepared to share?
In terms of relationship stuff, I had a very funny thought the other day about I've been married for a while now. It's been 21 years of marriage, and
congratulations!
Thank you.
A good innings.
It's a pretty decent
these
innings.
Days. Yes,
and I did assume that at some point my wife and I were going to run out of things to argue about, but I've come to realize my wife loves an argument more than anything. Her love language is words of confrontation.
I love it.
So
it's the adrenaline. It's the adrenaline.
Absolutely. So I figure, okay, this is just going to be par for the course. Don't fight it.
What I'm interested in also, Stuart, is you started off in science.
Yes, I've got a science
degree.
And
how did you move to comedy?
So the story goes back to before varsity, in fact. Mm. I went to a place in Cape Town called the College of Magic. That was my extramural activity.
I was a
magician in my younger days, and I would do kids' birthday parties when I was
That's
at high
we
school.
Met.
There we go. And at varsity, I would do sort of card tricks for people in res. And when I got to my final year of varsity, the Cape Town comedy scene was just starting up with something called the Cape Comedy Collective.
Yes, I remember that very
and
well.
And I would drive through from Stellenbosch every couple of days and come and perform in Cape Town. So by the time I graduated, there was actually a comedy circuit that had started brewing. And I essentially took a gap year. I was going to go back and study. And that was many, many years ago now.
So you're still on your gap year.
I'm still on my gap year. It's the longest gap year anyone's ever had. But who knows? Maybe I'll go back and finish that master's at some point.
Well, we now know the journey, which is a good journey. I want to know a little bit about your podcast series, Learn Ooh. A Husband, because I think that sounds absolutely hilarious, and how that came about, and your guests. We don't have very long, but so give us the short version.
The short version is once a week I put out an episode of the Learn A Husband podcast. We put it out on YouTube, and it's shot at Motor Village. So it's a bit of a man cave.
Oh,
I invite.
A boy thing, yeah.
But trust me, we have many females who listen to it.
Usually is.
And it's just about a bunch of guys, some people in the entertainment industry, people in the arts industry, and just some people that I admire in terms of their parenting style. Mm-hmm. And we talk about parenting, we talk about being husbands, we talk about career, and it's just basically a how-to manual on everything you wish that came with a how-to manual. So if you want to hear comedians' insights into marriage or musicians' insights into how to run a successful career or work with your partner, the Learn A Husband podcast is a great fun chat that we put out once a week.
But it also came from a book.
It did. So I mean, I've been toying with the idea of doing a podcast for a while now, and I want to do. Eventually, I was like, "Oh, it's going to be called Neighborhood Watch." That's it. And my sort of creative partner, right. His name is Grant. We work together quite a bit, and I was thinking, "Okay, cool, I've got it. It's going to be about life in the burbs, and you hit 40 years old, you join the Neighborhood Watch, and it's going to be about parenting, it's going to be about being a husband, and all of these things." And he said, "It sounds a bit like Learn A Husband, which was a show we wrote, and then a book I wrote." And I was like, he said, "Why don't you just call it the Learn A Husband podcast? It may not be purely about husbands. It's just, but the ethos of Learn A Husband is this every man who just is trying to figure out what I do and how I do it."
Yep.
And I said, "Oh, that's a great idea. The logo already exists. I don't need to pay a designer."
So I love it. So if you, this is the audience that I'm listening, do not want to be the odd man out, then you need to go and see Odd Man Out with Stuart Taylor, which is on from the 13th to the 15th of November. That's this week at the Concert Hall, Baxter Theatre. Tickets and bookings from baxter.uct.ac, or I think it's Web Tickets.
Web Tickets, yep.
Yep. And there is an age restriction, PG-13. Stuart, thank you so much for coming in. Lovely. You've given
us. Thanks for having me.
A nice vibe.
Lovely.
Thank
Enjoy
you.
Enjoy the day.
CH2 with Kwando, reworked, but we were all singing along here and doing our dancing. It was wonderful. And dancing her way in here is Simone Herodine, who's going to give us what's happening at Artscape this week.
Good afternoon, Beryl, and to the listeners. Always great to be on FMR on a Monday. They say there's nothing like a free lunch, but Artscape actually has free lunchtime concerts.
Yes, I know. Tomorrow.
Yes, it's tomorrow. Yep. It's tomorrow. And just to note that the concerts now start at 12:30 mm-hmm. and not at 1. So it's advisable to be here from about 11:45 onwards to take a seat. It's absolutely free, gratis, and for nothing. Mahala.
Can we bring our sandwiches?
You can bring your sandwiches. You can bring your you've got to buy the coffee and and the teas, but you can bring your sandwiches, you can bring your pasta, and share it with me, please, so that I can get my free lunch. And then for the rest of the week, we've got more amazing productions. We've just started with the New Voices program last week.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and the New Voices program, obviously the name speaks for itself. It gives new voices the opportunities, new playwrights the opportunities mm-hmm. to write new plays and to present their works at Artscape. It goes through a process, it's adjudicated, and then about 6 are chosen for stage readings, and then we've got the main production opening on the 19th, Fanny Valaf.
Wow.
And it deals with two gay lovers, and I never knew there was a lover's lane in Stellenbosch. I knew there was one in Wynberg.
I thought there was a lover's lane everywhere.
I know, I personally know about the Wynberg one, but that's TMI. So apparently there's one still in Bosch, and that's where they find solace because they need to hide their relationships from their parents and society. So that's an amazing play to come and see. Two productions that I'm looking forward to is Nathaniel. He's an absolute an absolute fan of his. I'm not interested in his singing that much. I'm more interested in the costumes that he wears.
Yes.
I know last
year. He's our own Liberace.
Yes, absolutely.
I think.
I think last year we're like a 20 meter train red dress.
Definitely our
on stage.
Own Liberace.
Exactly. So that's Catch Me Love. Yeah. That's right. And then the other production that is going to be great is Zip Zap Circus. That's
that
on from Friday. And they're performing with Freshly Ground.
How can
you not come and see that?
Exactly.
You've got trapeze artists, you've got circus acts, and you've got Freshly Ground.
Sure.
And then New Voices continues this week with more stage readings as well. And New Voices, the stage readings or the productions that we choose are of the official languages of the Western Cape, which is isiXhosa and English and Afrikaans.
Afrikaans.
Yep. Afrikaans too. Absolutely. You are so right. And oh, yes. And isn't there another book launch of Woman's Zone?
No, on Saturday.
I missed it. I was on a deadline for the brochure for 2026.
But we do have an important thing happening tomorrow. Tomorrow is a sort of closed function.
Yes.
But on Saturday we have
an event with
Cancer Alliance.
Yeah, that's
and
correct.
And we're talking about cervical cancer, but we have a panel discussion, and they're launching a campaign called Duk with a Difference.
That's correct.
Wonderful, colorful duks that you can buy to support their campaign.
Absolutely.
That's so, from 10:30 on Saturday.
Artscape is not just a home for productions and genres and performing arts. It's also a home for all and to conscientize our public on issues like gender-based violence. We've got the Hidden Current coming up, which I'll speak about more in next week as well.
Next week. Yep.
Also focusing on gender-based violence, and we tackle issues at this theatre.
Thank you, Simone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And very exciting to have in the studio now, critically acclaimed war drama and stage production, the actual writer and performer, Far Gone, brings its powerful story to South African theatres this November, not for very long, sadly. And we're very privileged to welcome award-winning writer and performer John Rothermack into the studio, and I got the pronunciation
right. Yes.
Would you take the W out? It's just so confusing.
Just take it out, yes. It's actually not that hard a name to pronounce.
No, it's not. It's not. The W is just sort of throws you off. But I mean, most things throw me off, you know, whatever. Tell us a little bit about your background so that the audience who may not know anything about you get to know you a little bit.
Hello, hello.
Hi, you're from Uganda originally?
I'm from Uganda. I'm very happy to be here in South Africa. I feel like in a different life I was South African. Mm-hmm. I can't sing though, so maybe
no, it's fine, it's fine. We'll let you in.
Yeah. I'm from Uganda. I went to the UK when I was at the age of 11 mm-hmm. and stayed there and then got into theatre.
Did your parents have to emigrate?
My parents emigrated and then I joined them 3 years mm-hmm. later.
Tough.
You know? Do you know what? It was. I wanted to go back to Uganda for a long time. Mm-hmm. I was like, why are we in the UK? We left in Uganda, as I've seen some buildings here, like a house on a 1 acre
yes,
piece of land,
yes.
five bedrooms,
yes.
to a council flat.
Council
with,
flat. Ugh.
With one bedroom in the UK. I was like, in winter.
No.
The 11 year in me was like, my parents hate me. This cannot be real, you know.
But, it is a culture shock.
Yeah. But had I not done that, I don't know if I would be making theatre. I don't know if I would be telling stories.
Have you been back to Uganda?
I have, yes. I try to go back every year.
Oh, that's wonderful.
My mother is in Uganda.
Oh, that's wonderful.
There, so my mother is my world. I don't know where she is.
It's with hand on heart. That is just so beautiful. Thank you. That's lovely. Yeah. Lovely. So how did this production evolve? I was very interested in the child soldier. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why. Because we interviewed a young woman on Saturday who is a survivor of the DRC. She was captured by rebels when she was five, and her whole village was captured. And the young children that she had played with, particularly the young boys, were turned into soldiers. Yeah. So this resonated very much. So I want to know more about.
Wow.
Yes, it's a story. It's called The Smallest Ones. Mm-hmm.
And that's happening. That story is happening
now. We know. It's a book. She wrote a book about her experiences, which are harrowing, to say the least.
Wow.
But in it is about the young child, the boys being turned into charger and just being completely brainwashed.
Yes.
Completely brainwashed. Sorry.
No. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much. Because there's something about people have been asking me, why is this show coming to South Africa? Why is this show?
Because it's relevant to this country. Well, not to this country, but to this continent.
It is to human species.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's Resistance Army were also prevalent in DRC. You know, they were also part of that. So I don't know if it was the same rebel group.
It was
the Lord's Resistance Army that.
I think so. Yes.
Look at that. And why I wrote this show is exactly for those kids that got kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
I was nearly one of those kids. I was when I was eight. They turned up to my village. We had gone home for Christmas, turned up to my village, and we had gunshots. We get up, we run, and they just stop, you know. And we wake up the next day, cousins, people we know, And I was eight. That stays with you.
Of course.
The body, even if there's a weight of the body just remembering that,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just don't forget that. Fast forward 10 years later, I'm in my first year of actor training in London, and I hear, in 2012, there was a campaign by Invisible Children, which is an American NGO, to capture Joseph Kony, the mm-hmm. leader of the Lord's Resistance Army, the same rebel group we're talking about here. And I just saw how false it was, how disingenuous it was.
Mm-hmm.
There was something about it that was just wrong. And long behold, a few weeks later, it all crashes down. There was nothing honest about it. I promised then that I would tell a story. I would write a play and tell this story
mm-hmm.
one day, the story of what actually happened to these kids. And years later,
here it is.
Touring the world. So we opened it in Sheffield in the UK in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Took it to Uganda, and we did a UK tour in 2022. And now we're like, let's take it on the road.
And are you able to take it to other areas of Africa?
On this trip, just South Africa.
Just South Africa.
Just South Africa.
Into Europe?
We're hoping. We're having conversations mm-hmm. to hopefully take it into Europe, Germany.
Because the thing that people don't realize across the world what actually happens in Africa. It's ignored.
Yeah.
If you look at the Rwandan genocide, it was ignored.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what Hollywood comes in and does one film about it, and we said that's enough.
Exactly.
That's
and it.
It
must. It's just what the children experience and the psychology.
Psychology.
Of that. The psychology of it.
The thing about war. One, it costs money. Therefore, someone
is
making money.
It makes money.
Yeah, therefore, someone is making
money.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I mean? And the damages war costs is actually, I think the worst damage is not the immediate damage. It's the aftermath. It's
of
the
course.
Generations after.
How it's, do you live through
how
that?
How do you live through that? How do you raise children if you've been through war?
And the way they're taught to kill in cold blood.
Yeah, exactly. And this is...
Beyond thought.
And for me, honestly, this is why I tell stories. This is why the company, you know, we started the theater company. Because I think at the heart of humanity, at the very beginning of it, was storytelling. And to be able to sit and go, you know what? These are the things that are happening in our home, in our continent, that are connected to the world. And we are going to do our best to give it the most, to show it in the most honorable and most exciting, challenging, educative, but entertaining way.
But you've also been able to inject humor into it. How did you do that?
Because,
of course you must, because nobody wants to go and see something that is going to, they're going to walk out feeling completely flattened and wiped out. And
I mean,
they do on the one side, but they need to find the humorous
moments. Think humor also allows you to connect deeper with the emotional aspect of this world, because at the deepest depth of darkness,
absolutely,
people still laugh.
Yes,
people
yes.
still laugh.
We know, have to.
You have to. So yeah, there's a bit of humor in here. You know, there's a point where we stop laughing and it gets real. You know, but we open very lightly. We invite the audience in. The audience are also sort of part of the show.
Great. You know, I'm looking forward to that.
We're having a conversation together. We're doing the journey together. In fact, if the audience says no, show doesn't happen.
Well, in my opinion, you have to see this. It's at the Baxter Theatre from November 11th to 15th. It's not a very long run, sadly.
Yes.
And tickets are available through Web Tickets. John, I'm very much looking forward to seeing this.
Thank you.
Thank you so much
for
being with
me.
Us today.
Thank you.
FMR 101.3 FM.
Mzansi National Philharmonic Orchestra celebrates South African excellence and global music collaboration through its new national tour. Voices of Home is the name, and we're very happy to welcome Bongani Tembi, Chief Executive and Artistic Director of Mzansi Philharmonic. How are you, Bongani?
I am very, very well, and thank you very much, Beryl, for this opportunity, and we appreciate the relationship with FMR and your listeners.
Thank you so much. And we appreciate you too. And we're very excited that you're coming down in December, and you've got quite a run, December the 10th and 11th in Johannesburg, and then the 13th of December in Durban, and finally coming home to Cape Town on the 16th of December. It's a national tour, obviously, with a meeting of musical legends. Tell us more about who is going to be performing.
The concert will be conducted by Marin Alsop, the legendary conductor.
And, a lady, I like that.
a lady, really one of the best conductors in the world, period, lady or male. But to talk about the lady part, she was the first woman to be really appointed to lead a major orchestra in the U.S., and recently, she was also the principal conductor of the Vienna Radio Orchestra. You know, these are orchestras in Vienna that 68 years ago didn't even allow women to play, never mind to lead.
Yeah.
So we are just so excited about her.
Very
she
exciting.
She was in Cape Town 3 years ago in December 2022 doing Beethoven 9th, and Cape Townians just fell in love with her.
Well, we love our women down here, I must say.
We're very proud of the feats that women have overcome. And you have the most wonderful Abel Seleako.
Seleako,
thank you.
He's the cellist. So he's the cellist, born and bred in Soweto, mm-hmm. But went to study in Europe, in the UK first, and really has been all over the world now. He's an absolute sensation in Europe. I was just in Paris now, talking about potential future tours of Mzansi there. And they said, so who do you think may be your soloist? I said, well, I don't know. It could be someone like Abel. They said, Abel, can you get Abel? I said, yes. And so everyone wants him in Europe. He's a sensation. He's done very well. He had recently a tour in Australia. I was a sensation there. Mm-hmm. So we are delighted. He's one of the reasons we're calling the tour Voices of Home, because we are doing his a four spirit cello concerto, which is really inspired by his upbringing in South Africa.
Yes, I was looking at that and it sounded extraordinarily interesting. Can you give me any more sort of details on the cello concerto? Because this is actually the debut, isn't it?
Well, it is the South African debut, the cello concerto.
Okay.
Yes, but he has done it before. And as I said, you know, it was born from the stories and sounds that shaped him, and the memory, the joy, the rhythm, the resistance, the celebration of South Africa. Mm-hmm. It's very, very positive, and it's fantastic.
Something wonderful, something very wonderful to be able to take overseas as well when you go or when you are there.
To give people
that literal spirit of our wonderful country.
Yes, and it will feature the master percussionist Bernard Schimpelsberger, who features prominently. And It was orchestrated, but not by Abel himself. So I'm trying to think who was the orchestrator. I'll let you know just now as we chat along.
Okay,
so
not a problem.
It's something that is unique. I must say that it is also paired by Rachmaninoff Symphony No. 2. Mm-hmm. It's a massive symphony, which is just so wonderful, which is very romantic. It's got sweeping melodies. So we look forward to hearing the fantastic musicians of Mzansi and Marin give their interpretation of Rachmaninoff Symphony No. 2.
It sounds like it's going to be the most extraordinary concert. I just wanted to ask you what the mandate of a national orchestra is.
Our mission is based, we've got multiple missions. One is to utilize music to bring South Africans together, all
Perfect.
South Africans, all races.
Yes.
Because music, like sport, we've seen that with the Springboks, is a powerful tool to bring everyone together.
Without question.
And when you see our concerts all over the country, the mixture of the people, the demographics, it's wonderful to see South Africans come together. So that's one of our mandates. The second mandate is to utilize music, brand South Africa positively in South Africa and around the world. And we've done performances internationally that were fantastic. Our youth orchestra was at Carnegie Hall last year, sold out Carnegie Hall. And how South Africa was just presented at that concert. The first half, we highlighted South African composers.
Oh.
It was the first time, by the way, Afrikaans was sang at Carnegie Hall.
Oh,
so
how
you had
wonderful.
Afrikaans, Zulu, Xhosa being sung at Carnegie Hall. And for the second half, we did Dvořák Symphony No. 9 from the New World. So this is how we try to utilize music to brand our country positively around the world. In fact, this current tour is in association with South African tourism.
Oh.
Because they, they realize the power of music. And in our case, orchestral music, yes.
And of course, there is the healing that music brings as well, which I think is that spiritual healing, the healing for our country. And I understand, before we have to go, that you are also going to be doing some community events when you're down in Cape Town. I'm sure you're doing them in your other centres as well. Which places will you be visiting in Cape Town?
Well, in Cape Town, it's going to be the Tigerberg Hospital.
Oh, wonderful.
We're very excited. On Wednesday, the 17th, we'll be at the Tigerberg Hospital.
Terrific.
For the patients, for the nurses and doctors, even the parents of some of the kids.
Oh, lovely.
And people, it's going to be a moving moment. I did want to, before we go, to touch on the two other parts of the mission. The other one is harnessing the skills of young South Africans.
Right.
So we've got a fellowship program where we sponsor young, talented people who are studying in Europe and elsewhere in the country.
Terrific.
At least four of them are from the Western Cape, by the way.
Fabulous.
And then the last
Thank you.
One, and then the last one is to fund orchestral activities in all nine provinces. You know, in the Western Cape, Mzansi funds about 22 orchestral projects.
Well, it's
just in the Western Cape alone.
It's wonderful, Bongani, and thank you. And I know that people will be looking forward to your concert on the 16th of December at the City Hall, and tickets are available via Quicket. And have a wonderful tour. We'll look forward to seeing you when you're down here.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We've come to the end of our show, and I think that we've had a very interesting show. You listened to Apiwe Bubu, who's going to be performing at the Commons on the 14th of November. He's a jazz maestro, record producer, songwriter, composer, based in the US, but a South African boy, which is what we love. And then, of course, if you need a belly laugh, which I think most of us do, go and see Stuart Taylor with his show Odd Man Out at the Baxter Theatre from the 13th to the 15th of November. And tickets are available from Web Tickets. And this wonderful show called Far Gone, which is an internationally acclaimed stage production of storytelling with John Rotomak, the Ugandan-born actor and writer, is on from the 11th to the 15th at the Baxter Theatre and then in Joburg, but tickets are available from Web Tickets. Do not miss it. And finally, Mzansi National Philharmonic Orchestra will be celebrating South Africa's heritage and world-class musical artistry with Voices of Home on the 16th of December at 6 p.m. at the Cape Town City Hall on Quicket. And that's a wrap from me, and thanks to Mzu, and thank you for tuning in. FMR.